Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long with
my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we are seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and to speak through us, Father, so that the things that are said and done this evening are not ours but yours. Now, Father, keep us upon that pathway of righteousness. And, Father, we thank you for this day and the things you have done this day, Father, for each and every one of us. But Father, I want to give you praise for my day today. I want to praise you, Father, for the healing touch of thy hand and for the healing that is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ's stripes that he bore for us. And thank you, Father, for his forgiveness for our sins that is covered by his blood to make us whole, Father, and to help us along the way to be your child. Help us now to, Father, walk away from the things of this world and start seeking the things, Father, that are of thy kingdom. Now, Father, as we get into thy word, keep us in truth. Don't let anything, Father, be said that would be deceiving. And I ask all of this in thanksgiving, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. This has been a great day of joy for me. As you can see how I stand before you tonight, this has been a day that I have spent with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father in prayer and rejoicing for what he's done for me.
Praise God.
And I can tell you the exact time it was done. It was at 11:30 this morning that the healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ touched me. And really, I've spent the day, and I do mean the day with him. All right. We left off in chapter 15 of John, the Gospel of John. And I'm going to pick back up there. We don't have much of the 15th chapter left, but we do have a little. What is there is important. Because in the day and time that we are living now, mankind and the church needs to wake up and not become a part of this world, but they better be walking out of this world and getting right with the Lord Jesus Christ and start walking in the kingdom of Almighty God. You know, his kingdom's here on this earth also. We can begin walking in the kingdom of God right here. We don't have to wait until we're over on the other side. He tells us, just like he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit is within us, so is his kingdom. And he tells us that. So we've got no excuse at all of not walking in the kingdom of Almighty God. But so many thinks they know more than God does in this day and time. Now, verse 16, we'll back up two verses because it leads into, kind of leads us into the rest of it. Verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. There's a pretty good message right there just within them two verses. But we're not going to get into that because then we'd have to back up. I probably wouldn't ever get out of this 15th chapter. But I do want to go on because he also tells us some other things that we have forgotten all about, don't think about, most don't. Everybody hasn't forgotten them, but most of mankind have. And a lot of them that have, even knows about them and thinks about them once in a while, ignores them. The 18th verse says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And the reason that it's hating you and I today is because we believe in him. And that's the only reason. Because if you are walking in the word of Almighty God, you're not doing anything against anyone that would harm them. Not if you're a born-again child of God. Yet, 99.99.9 of the world today don't want no part of us. They don't want to hear the truth of God's word, because for the most part, they're not walking right. And, you know, a lot of them know they're not doing the right thing. They know it. But they want to walk their way, because for years now, they have been being deceived by others telling them, well, things that are contrary to the word of Almighty God. But he's letting us know, in no uncertain terms, why they hate you and I. 19. He says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And that's why we find things out here in this world so hard, and hard on you and I, is because we don't belong to it. If we belong to the world, then we don't belong to Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. We can stand up and speak and say we're saved and we're child of God and all of that. But if we are not walking in his word, and we are not walking with him, then we're lying. We're lost. And we need to get right and get straight and live with him and for him. We are to be workers, every one of us. There's a job for every child of God. We all don't have the same work, but we all have work to do. And the foundation of that work is for all, because that foundation is in sharing the truth of the word of Almighty God with mankind. And that's for everyone that belongs to him. Not just your preachers and your deacons. And the sad thing is that today, most of them don't belong to him. And that's a sad thing. But they're teaching contrary to the word of Almighty God. We need to be spending more time in prayer, praying for this county in which we live, for the state in which we live, and for the land which we live in, and then also for the world and all of mankind. Because we got a lot of walls need to come down. And that's going to take a lot of prayer. Because the only one that can do that is our Lord and Savior. He can give us the help we need, the power we need, and all to help bring these walls down and all come together and all belong to his church. We don't call them walls, but that's what they are. The Bible speaks about not building walls that divide mankind. That's exactly what we've done. We can remember, or I can, some of y'all probably can't. You weren't around then. When there was very few walls built, there was a few, but very few. Now, we've got them everywhere. And many of them. And they have divided mankind, and Satan has gotten into them. and bringing all kinds of trouble to mankind himself. Because you see, that's all he's out for. He is the prince of this world, and he's out to keep mankind away from the Lord Jesus Christ and away from God's kingdom. He knows where he's going to end up. He knows. He knows this book. He knows the Word of God. But he wanted to put himself above God, and he thinks he can still do that because he's using his own mind instead of the word that he does know. When he took Jesus out to tempt him, what did he use? He used the word to tempt God with it. Even though Jesus told him he wasn't to tempt the Lord God. But he did. And he's sure doing it today. And we need to be busy about our Father's work and a whole lot less about the things of this world out here. All right. 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours. He's letting you and I know that there are still some out there that is searching for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those we can reach if we give them the word. He said those that would listen to him would also listen to us. Well, they can't listen to us if we don't speak, can they? If we don't get out and get around them and talk with them about the Word of God and get them to join us at church, then we're not doing our job. And we're not walking as the children of God. Because you see, he told us that we are not greater than him, but we can do what we are supposed to do because he is in us. We have the power of God in us. Nothing to keep you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. A lot of times we think so, though, don't we? Now, you know, we find in studying the Bible, a lot of times, especially in the Old Testament, a lot of times God would tell them to go do something, and, well, I can't, I don't know how. But he'd let them know, well, yeah, but I do. I know how. Just like Jonah. But look what it took to get Jonah straightened out. So just be glad that you don't live like Jonah and that you're not out on the sea. Because God was sending him someplace he didn't want to go. And he started even in a different direction. But God put him in a fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. Till he finally decided, Lord, forgive me, and I'll go. And that fish spit him out on the shore. But you know, there's many, many, many ways for you and I to walk through trials and tribulations and troubles. And it don't even have to be because of some great sin we've committed. It's just something we haven't been doing either at all or enough of. Because, Lord, I just don't have the time now, Lord. You know, I haven't got the time. And Lord, I don't have means of getting here and going there. I can't do this and I can't do that. That's the reason you can't do it. Because if you'd start, that's all you have to do, is start. When something comes to you from God, you take that first step, He'll give you the rest of them and the way and the means to get it done. May take you a while to learn it. May take you a while to receive it. Just depends on how hard-headed you are. I was pretty hard-headed, wasn't I? You all seen me go through a trial. And it wasn't overnight. Because I thought I was doing everything I needed to do. But it wasn't what. It was just I wasn't doing enough of it. Now, 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Jesus is letting you and I know that the reason they are giving us a hard way to go and bringing everything to us and trying to cut you and I down is because we're walking in his name. But are you really walking in his name? That's the thing. Have you walked all this day in his name? More likely not. How many times today have you stopped and thanked him for something that happened at that moment? How many times have you just stopped to give him praise? You see, I was thanking him for everything, and I was praising him. I was studying his word. And I was praying to him, but I wasn't doing enough of it. And Satan slipped up there and smacked me right upside the head. Got a pretty good hold on me with that sickness. But you see, I serve one that's greater than him. But then it took a while for me to understand that there were still things in my mind that I couldn't understand. Why? Lord, why has it taken so long? What have I done, Lord? I know it's not you, it's me, but what have I done? And all the time that I'm thinking that, I'm bringing doubt. But doubt don't get the job done. But I was sitting at home this morning, and I was watching one of my shows. It was a Christian show. I was watching one of it. And God spoke to me and let me know that I was being healed. But he said, you know, you haven't really put your trust in it. He said, you'll say I'm healed, and I'm healed by Jesus' stripes, which is the truth, but you don't receive it because you're also putting doubt there. Why is it taking so long? What have I done? He said, that's what is standing in the way. And he said, you don't act on it. And I wasn't. I was doing exactly what he said I was doing. I was letting doubt creep in there. And when I would say, I'm being healed, Lord, I'm being healed, I wasn't stepping out on it. I'd put that oxygen right back on. And I'd take all them pills they were putting down me. What was that doing? You see, that was bringing doubt in. So at 11:30, he told me, he said, now, you're healed. Act on it. I was sitting there with oxygen on right then when he told me. At 11:30, I took that oxygen off. I ain't had it back on. But don't think Satan didn't try to tempt me about putting it on. I had to go to Irvington, and I had to go to the drugstore to get some more pills. I'd had them ordered. He said, now you've got to go. He said, now, but you better take your oxygen with you. No, I ain't going to put that oxygen on. Well, take it with you. No, I ain't going to take it with me. Well, you're going after pills. Yeah, because I had him order it. And it ain't up to them to have to eat it. The right thing to do is go get them. Pay for them. You ordered them, now pay for them. Bring them back, put them up, and that's what I did. I didn't take any of them. I brought them back, put them up on the cabinet. I haven't had my oxygen back on either. It's been holding pretty well. And I've seen to where even, he's still trying me. Satan's still picking on me. He's still trying. That's why I had that tester on. Because I do want to know when he's going to get enough now. And when he just walks away and leaves me alone. But my oxygen level should stay, well, in fact, it has to stay to be normal, above 90. My heart rate runs between the high 60s and the low 80s, 80 to 81. Is what is normal for me. Since my healing took place, it's been running 93 to 95, over 71 to 75, 76. But you see, I had to step out. I had to do something, not set with any doubt, because that little doubt was exactly what was slowing everything down. It wasn't that I was committing sin, because I wasn't. And I was spending time in prayer. but I wasn't spending enough. And I was reading the Word, but I wasn't studying enough. And once he let me know, because I kept asking, Lord, what is slowing this down? He finally told me at 11:30 this morning. I stepped out. Stepped out on faith. Because that's what has to work. And when I stepped out on faith, I didn't take that oxygen, put it in the car and take it with me. I left it at home. I was depending on him and his word. And I was standing on it. And I ain't had it back on since. Ain't gonna put it back on. Now, Jesus said that they do that because they don't know him that sent him, which is the Father. And you know, most don't really know how to pray. Most of your church people today don't really know how to pray. Most of them will pray to Jesus. But you pray to the Father. In Jesus' name, you go through Jesus to pray to the Father. Things changed when we come into this church age. Now, 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. And most are hiding today. They think, but they're not hid, because you see, God knows the sin. He knows whether you sin or not. He knows every thought in your head. Nothing. You can't hide anything from him. But a lot of them believe they can. And they set out to do it. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Well, we know that for a fact. Look at how many different religions we got out there. When you go to counting Buddha and a whole bunch of them, Islam and all of that, and then along with a lot of voodoo and witchcraft. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have. They both seen and hated both me and my Father, even hating God, the Father. And we know that's true. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And you see, when you are actually walking as a born-again child of God, although they hate you, although they'll tell lies on you and all of that, they're doing it without a cause. Because if you are truly born again child of God, you're not giving them a cause to hate you. The only cause they got to hate you is because you belong to Jesus and they don't. And when you come right down to it, they don't want to. But yes, we are living in a day and time to where we're going to need to reach those that are out there. We don't know who they are. That's why we must share this gospel with all mankind. And we must work at it. It's time for us to sit down, get a pencil and paper, if nothing else. If your mind's a little short, and a lot of us, it gets shorter all the time. But get you a pencil and paper and think about friends and all. And go and see, talk with them. Share some of his word with them. Invite them to church. Now, you can't make them come, but you do that, and you do it with love, and you'll be surprised how many you may be able to reach. Don't argue with them. Don't let them get you into an argument about the Bible or the Word of God. Just give them what God tells you to give to them. Do it with love. And before you leave, ask them if you can have prayer with them. And if they agree, then pray for them while you're right there with them. Pray for them. You may not see them again for a while, but if that don't get them there, then next time you see them, share a little more with them. But you got to keep sharing. That's just like when I did go to the hospital. That didn't stop me from sharing the word. I never had a nurse or an aide that walked in that room that left without having a word gave to her and talking about the Lord with her. And the doctors. Sometimes one of the doctors would come in and have somebody with him. And he'd walk upside the bed. And the doctor would say, "Well, I'm Dr. So-and-so. This is my assistant." And he'd turn around to the assistant and he'd say, "Now, Mr. Tony here is a preacher." I didn't have to tell them. Doctors tell them. Even if they wasn't listening, they knew because I had talked with every one of them as long as they'd stand there, which wasn't too awful long. If I got 5 minutes with them, I was lucky. But they got at least 3 minutes of the word. All right. Now, 26. But when the Comforter is come, now who's the Comforter? It's the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He came back to you and I on the day of Pentecost after Jesus ascended and went back to heaven to sit on the right hand of God, the right hand of the Father, or as some of the places would give you, the right hand of power. And then he sent him back. Because you see, as long as he was here, he couldn't give him to us. Not to all mankind. He had to go back. And then he sent him back to us. And he told us that. He told his disciples, "If I don't go, he can't come." Whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. You see, he's telling us the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent to you and I, was to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, to give you and I the power, that spiritual power that we need in order to do whatever work God has called each of us to do. You can be talking to a lot of people, you can ask them, have you ever thought about doing this for God? No, you know, I really don't know nothing about that. You don't have to know. But you can go and you get home, get to a quiet place, and go to him in prayer and tell him, Lord, I don't know how to do it, but I know you do. Guide me, and he will. He will. And he'll let you know whether that's what he wants you to do or if he's got something else for you to do. And he uses a lot of us in a lot of different ways and at different times. Kenny and Dennis both had to go through several changes. Besides going and being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, for them to get where they are today, they had to serve as a deacon first. And then he brought them on in to the ministries and made pastors out of them. And he may change their lives yet. He did with me. I started out my first 3 years as an evangelist, preaching all over the place, in different churches, in all kinds of churches. Then he took a notion, well, now I want you as a pastor. And I want you here as a pastor. So I'd serve there until he'd say, all right, I'm moving you now. I want you to go so-and-so. So I'd go so-and-so. And I learned that kind of quickly because there was a time he was going to move me from one place to another. He gave me the town. He gave me the street the church was on. He gave me the highways to take to get there because he was moving me out of state. I was living in Florida, and he was going to send me to Tennessee. I told him, I said, Lord, I'll go. Show you how you need and why you need to work. I told him, I said, I'll go. But Lord, I've got this work I've got to finish. I was painting a house and I had some inside work. I told him, I said, it'll be a week. I took that week before I started. I got the work done. I took the very route he told me to take. Pulled right up in front of the church. Lady across the street happened to be the secretary of the church. She seen me pulling the driveway. Of course, she seen an out-of-state tag. So she come across to the church and asked me, she said, can I help you? I told her, I said, yeah. I've been told y'all looking for a pastor, so I'm here to see about it. She said, well, sir, she said, you're just one day late. We heard one yesterday. When God tells you to do something, do it. Get started at it. Even if you don't know how to get there or how to get it all done. Start at it, and he'll guide you the rest of the way. And because I didn't go when he told me to go, I missed out on that church. And then, when I missed out on that one, I ended up in Georgia. And then he moved me from there home. And he's moved me several places here in the state of Kentucky. He put me in one place to where I'd pray and beg him to get me out of there. Lord, can't you move me? He kept me there 2 years. Because it is a center here in Kentucky for witchcraft. That's Tompkinsville. Tompkinsville, Kentucky. Full of witchcraft. And I'm talking about witchcraft that's at work. It ain't make-believe. But Satan really at work. But we need to really listen. And when you're reading your Bible, read it out loud to yourself. Because he will talk to you that way. You'll be surprised how much difference it'll make to read this when you're studying, to read it out loud. And you'll hear his voice. And you'll know it's his voice. You'll know it's him talking to you and guiding you with that word. Well, I ain't going to get to 16 where I plan on going. Because we're going to close this next verse. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. You are to bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of Almighty God. And he says, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now there he was talking to his disciples, but also it talks to us. Because from the beginning of our time of walking with him, there had to be a beginning. But let's pray there'll not be an end. Because you see, even when we step out of this life and into the next and go on to spend eternity with him, there's not going to be no end to our servant, because we're going to serve him through eternity. Still doing what he wants us to do. And there's a lot of things to do. We don't know what he'll have each one of us doing over there. Have no way of knowing until we get there. And he lets us know. He said, we don't know now. We see as though we're looking through a glass darkly. But once we get there, we'll know as we are known. So let's all just keep praising him. Keep working for him. Keep working with him. And doing the work he calls each one of us to do. And let's, above everything else, let's be sure that we keep praying for each other and this church. I came here today. I still don't know yet why. But up this side over here, and right up next to the front there, there's a big machine sitting out there. I've never seen one like it. Some kind of it's equipment for something, but I don't know what. And it was all built on a trailer. It had been put there. Now, I don't know what they've done. But I will find out in the next few days had one that's supposed to pressure wash everything and paint it, spray paint it outside. That was supposed to have been done right after I got in here. Ain't been done yet. And I told him I had to paint. That paint sitting right in there. Never been open. But now, getting my health back, that paint will get done outside. Because I'll do it. It'll be rolled. It won't be sprayed. It'll be rolled. But it'll get done. We've got a lot of things here to do. But I've been waiting for a little help. Because we got a lot of work here to do. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this church and a place to where we can come together to share your word, to walk, Father, according to your will and your way and not ours. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them because we know, Father, they are having very little of peace. Shelled every day, Father, destruction. Now, Father, even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to a saving knowledge with him, finishing with the law and serving Jesus, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, help us. Help us to gain those, Father, that will work with us to bring this land to repentance because of the evil our government has brought upon its own people. Because we have those in our government, Father, that's against you, against the Lord Jesus Christ, against the church, and against us. Help us to replace them, Father, and help us to work with our government, to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch that one, Father, and fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Millie and Bobby Johnson, myself, my wife and my family, James's family, and Dennis, his wife and his family, Bobby and Millie, for that whole family, Father, they stand in great need. You know their needs. Now, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Carrie Copes, Dennis Breeden, his wife, Tina, Brothers in Christ, Pastor Small of the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, and that little church of God there at Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. And Father, this young man that was ordained into the ministry will be with them all, Father. be with all of their families, so that none be lost. Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie. And Father, you know the problem there. We lift them up. Pray for them. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father. Make these churches lighthouses to the community in which they stand. But even more than that, Father, make them places of refuge where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, that light being Jesus. My three friends there in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron. Father, be with these three. Keep them safe. Keep them, Father, in health and see to their needs. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue and David Branson, for Palance Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Some needs physical healing, some needs spiritual healing, and some needs both. And Father, may the Holy Spirit touch each one. Bring them close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And keep them, Father. Now, Father, be with this church. Help us to grow, Father. Use each and every one of us in a great and mighty way. And we ask all of this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Remember now, everyone, we can all, God willing, be together again come Sunday morning at 11 a.m. So until then, walk with God, He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.